From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 31st, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. I'm Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Two recent events in mobile location-based technology are signaling changes for the entire industry. Navtech, owned by Nokia, shut the doors on its NN4D program for developers, and the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that it was unconstitutional to attach a GPS device to track a crime suspect. What impact might this have on the innovation of new products in the LBS space and privacy issues? We'll talk about that and more, but first a word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, bringing you truly integrated GIS and image processing from a single organization. You can easily leverage GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine in unison to construct a larger, more complete geospatial picture. GeoMedia delivers powerful GIS analysis and management, enabling you to integrate your geospatial resources. Erdos Imagine incorporates industry-leading geospatial image processing, analysis, and remote sensing capabilities. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial and register for our upcoming webinar. Adina, these two seemingly unrelated stories last week indicated to me that we kind of crossed the threshold on two fronts: the issue of privacy as measured by the Supreme Court standards, and the possibility that developers will not have the support of one of its longstanding catalysts, Navtech, that had provided many thousands of dollars in data to support the burgeoning LBS industry over the past several years. Taking the two stories together, we see that how we use location technology more or less entered mainstream awareness, which we kind of already knew, but such that we do need legal guidelines and perhaps don't need as much help to spur innovation like we used to see from Navtech. So let me take the Supreme Court ruling first, and I'm going to quote from the Wall Street Journal here. The Supreme Court ruled that police violated the Constitution when they attached a global positioning system tracker to a suspect's vehicle without a valid search. The decision offered a glimpse of how the court may address the flood of privacy cases expected in coming years. But the justices split 5-4 on the reasoning, suggesting that differences remain over how to apply age-old principles prohibiting unreasonable searches. So the majority pushed for a more sweeping declaration that installing GPS tracker not only trespassed on private property, but violated a suspect's reasonable expectation of privacy. The majority, however, said it was necessary to go that far because the act of putting the tracker on the car invaded the suspect's property in the same way that a home search would, unquote. So a couple of the differences here. What I found interesting is that this decision will set precedent for whatever object we now hold in our hand or a pocket or whatever that allows our personal location to be determined, whether it's GPS or some other location determination device, including what I would think of, you know, Wi-Fi, you've got RFID, whatever that may be. But it gave me pause that, you know, that are creating new ways to add location to apps, just thinking through what might be considered unlawful or what can or cannot be used by police or tracking suspects. So what physical means of tracking is considered unlawful in this day and age? It could be wireless stuff. It's not necessary to attach a device when we're all carrying a GPS device. So whereas a police might find that they got to attach something, I'm not sure that's even necessary anymore. We're all carrying these GPS devices. So the Supreme Court set precedent here. There's now a box around what police can or cannot do. It just brought up to my mind what we are personally going to be responsible for in carrying GPS devices.
Well, and it goes a lot further than that, because if we go back to civics class, right, the judicial branch interprets the laws. The legislative branch creates the laws. And the executive branch enforces the laws. Mm-hmm. So what we have now is an interpretation from the Supreme Court. What we don't have are the laws on the books that really explicitly state what can and can't be done. And the Supreme Court, even in explaining why it said that warrants were required, didn't go into that detail. And I think that's what you're getting at, which is we've got a whole host of different ways that we can track people.
Yeah.
And some of them don't even involve our phone. What about all those cameras that are everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
And what about every time you drive through the toll booth to get on the highway? Right? Those are all...
tracking devices.
Right. Yeah. Location information is being captured. And how it can be used by law enforcement, and how it can be used by private companies, and how it must be explicitly stated, again, back to this expectation of privacy. It's just as open as it ever was, but if nothing else, this has made a statement in the sand. Now, how this is going to be implemented, and how we can even think about laws that are going to apply to future technology is really hard. Think about, we talked recently about near-field communications.
Right.
I mean, that's another way that we're going to be, in a sense, using our phones to make a statement of we were here.
Exactly.
Right? And we wouldn't even have thought about that, I don't know, 10 years ago.
So it's interesting whether we consider this ruling, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm just suggesting that the ruling put a bit of a box around what police can do, and that's about all we know at this point. I'm going to just quote again from that Wall Street Journal article, and quote, "The government physically occupied private property for the purpose of obtaining information. We have no doubt that such a physical intrusion would have been considered a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment when it was adopted," Justice Scalia wrote, joined by Roberts, Kennedy, Thomas, and Sotomayor. So that's about all they did. You know, they put a little butter box. There was a physical attachment of a device, and they considered that a physical intrusion. but as you just said, there are all sorts of physical intrusions. Some of it wireless. They write near field communication is kind of a wireless intrusion. I don't know that's possible. Yeah.
Well, think about it from the other sense. Adding that box to your car, which is maybe considered part of your property, the car is part of your property, is very different from, if you like, the law enforcement tapping into your phone, which is already your privacy,
right,
your personal effects. So there's a fine line, and some of the discussions of this whole case go back to the wiretap laws,
mm-hmm,
expectations of, sure, privacy. And so in a sense, yes, the fact that you had to have a physical box to attach to the car, not to suggest that the Supreme Court justices were taking the easy way out, but that's an easy way to draw at least a first line.
Yeah. So to me, this was a fairly narrow case and a very narrow ruling, but it's going to open up lots of questions.
Right, and it's going to open up questions of, is this going to go down is there going to be a whole set of legal cases brought up to find out where that line is, or is Congress going to start working harder to create the laws to push that forward? Where is the push going to be, judicial or legislative?
Because there's just so many devices now. Location has been mainstreamed. It's in everything. I can easily see that the courts will try to put more boxes around each device, which could be a real nightmare, but that may be where we're heading.
Right. Well, first steps.
Yep. The second topic we'll talk about today is the closing of NN4D, NAVTEQ's program that supported developers in providing data so that they could create LBS applications. It was somewhat surprising for me. I know that Nokia is undergoing lots of changes with regard to its branding of NAVTEQ data. I'm not sure we know exactly what the new branding is going to be, but it seems a little short-sighted to kill a program that would have otherwise promoted the Nokia brand. I want to quote something from Greg Rose writing on Google Plus. He's one of the NN4D guys, and I quote, "I would not write Nokia off just yet. I know it has seemed a bit scattered the last couple of years. However, in my humble opinion, under Steve and Elop and Michael Halber, the new leadership, things are changing rapidly for the better. honestly, it's only now that Nokia is forming a very focused location strategy and really taking advantage of their Navtech assets. The new location and commerce division at Nokia is just getting started, so now is the time to double down on forming those relationships within the companies. Interesting statement, very positive actually, from a guy who just got laid off. It's obviously there's obviously changes going on in Nokia, and I just thought it was a little strange to see a program that you'd want to continue be shuttered.
Well, and it's hard for us to say, since Nokia is such a big company with so many different divisions, as to, the real question would be, how much money has this group brought in?
Mm-hmm.
This group seems to have somewhere between 30 and 50 people. And if you look on the Navtech NN4D, Navtech Network for Developers is a developer relations program focused on providing developers of location-based applications free business development, marketing, and technical support from the world leader in location content. We introduce developers to Navtech's extensive network of commercial buyers, co-market their businesses, provide training opportunities, and offer easy access to effective mobile advertising. Now, that program is free. And Nokia claims 55,000 people in that program. How many of those participants have actually spent money with Nokia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how much? And I guess my gut sense is that this group wasn't making enough money.
So what you'd have to draw from that conclusion, let's just take that train of thought, is there any advantage to continuing a program like this in a way that either spurs branding, that carries over into more app development, that would support apps in a Nokia app store? And would that be a good investment to spur continued development of applications just for them? I don't know what the long-range plans are. Obviously, that answer was no, it wasn't worthwhile to them, you know, thinking down that road. That was not part of their strategy. But I would say that for many years, the NN4D program, or even before that, and as John Spinney brought up in his blog post, the LBS challenge that Navtech sponsored was a great program. My feeling is we're moving on, that the industry is moving forward. Maybe we don't need these developer programs like we once did. We don't need to give away free data. It's a maturing industry. People can find their data and pay for their data.
And people know enough in the development community to figure out how to use it.
Yeah. It wasn't that way before.
Right. Well, and think about it. What percentage of the folks using the Google Maps API interact with any Google people?
Mm-hmm.
They don't spend any money on it for the most part. They use all the online resources. They have their own forums, blah, blah, blah. No one's selling them anything. And that model, I think, it can work quite well. Now, the other thing to think about, too, is if Nokia and Microsoft are getting closer and closer, as they are, with Bing Maps soon to be branded with Nokia, just as they already are on Yahoo Maps, maybe Microsoft might take over some of that developer support.
It's a good thought. Yeah.
Exactly how those two companies are going to come together is still a bit unclear, but certainly one group doing that versus two, if they have that kind of relationship, is valuable. The other thing I want to point out, just in terms of this evolving branding at Microsoft, that popped up 10, 15 days ago, and I have to say, I read it and I thought, this is not news, the rebranding of Bing Maps. And one of the commenters to an Engadget story on it had the whole history of the branding of Microsoft Maps. Ready?
Yeah,
Live Search Maps, Windows Live Maps, Windows Live Local, MSN Virtual Earth, Bing Maps, and now Nokia Maps. So the whole branding thing has just been this ongoing process. And I think part of what's going on here is the Navtech brand is being subsumed into Nokia, which I think is a good thing. If anything, Nokia has been sort of stumbling of late, and I have to give them a lot of credit. They're making change. The worst thing that you can do is, if you're heading down a scary path, is to do nothing, which some would argue is what RIM is doing.
Right.
So I have to give Nokia credit. They're doing something. It's a little scary to all of a sudden wake up and find out that they're wiping out their developer program. But I think we're going to hear some more of these kinds of changes down the road and maybe get a better sense of what's going on. The other thing that this indicates, and we've been heading down this path for quite some time, is geographic data is a commodity. Geographic data with an API is a commodity.
Yeah, when you think about it, I want to go back to your comment about the Microsoft-Nokia relationship. I would have to say that the situation on the Bing side seemed to be a little disjointed for a long time. Maybe this relationship that is being built with Nokia Maps or whatever they want to call it, location and commerce division, will spill over. Maybe there could be a combining of forces such that you'll see a whole new division or a whole new effort being put forth by both companies. I know that, for instance, the new phones that were launched, the Windows phones, seem to have pretty good reviews for them. So the change seems to be good all the way around for that type of relationship. It took them a while perhaps to announce something, but this particular thing regarding location may have real legs, and we may see some more coming in the future. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, providers of GeoMedia and NerdOS Imagine. GeoMedia and NerdOS Imagine feature the widest range of native data format capability on the market and solid commitment to open standards from the OGC and ISO, providing seamless integration with current and future business systems and keeping you free from proprietary lock-in. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us, as always, at editors@directionsmag.com or send us a tweet at @directionsmag. You can post a comment where this podcast is posted as well. And from us here at Directions Mag, we've got many upcoming webinars. You can find all the details at directionsmag.com. Webinars, in particular, our series on real estate. The next one on February 7th is on site location, a very important and popular topic. Again, more details at directionsmag.com/webinars. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.